We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 209. 209.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was shed. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace believe? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Romans 5:19 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Good evening. If you would, let's open to the book of Psalm. We'll read Psalm 130 together. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. Let's pray. Our most gracious, high, and holy Heavenly Father, Father of our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach thy throne this evening, Lord, in his name. We ask him to send thy Spirit among us. Bless us once again as the preacher brings the word. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. We ask thee to bless the sick in the body and the spirit of the congregation, Lord. Be their help and their stay. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn number two. Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us. bless thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation into every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find that second rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise we without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Well, that 30th Psalm that he read tonight, that's been one of my favorites. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, if you began to mark them, who in the world should be able to stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. This 36th Psalm, I'm going to read the whole thing and show you where I'm going to get my subject. Psalm 36, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are glory and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. For with thee is a fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness unto the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. These are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. I get my subject there, my title there, in verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of his wings. Under his wings, under the shadow of his wings, under his wings. God's word describes the wicked and the righteous. He always sets them one against the other. And there is a great difference between the two. Great difference. You go through the psalm and the Psalms and Proverbs, or through the whole Bible, and God sets such a difference between the wicked and the righteous. And of course, the righteousness he talks about for us is the righteousness of Christ, of course. But the whole world lies in wickedness, is what the scripture says. You know, they said God so loved the world, but yet another place, the whole world lies in wickedness. And God's words describes the righteous and the wicked, and what a difference in them. And David starts with a description of the wicked here, and his thoughts, his interest, and then he describes God and God's glory, God's righteousness, and where God's people put their trust. The difference in them, the difference in them. Look at the wicked. Let's look at the wicked here first, and then we'll look at the righteous. Look at God and his glory. The transgressions of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. The wicked, he says, and this is the great transgression that he has, his great transgression. And this, it is this, and he says, within my heart there's no fear of God before my eyes. He said, before my eyes. To be without the fear of God, what an awful thing. To be without the fear of God, that'd be a horrible state to be in. To be without a fear of sin and its consequences. To be without the fear of judgment, for God to judge me. To be so brazen before God Almighty himself. To sin openly, to sin continually. Not ever having a thought of judgment. And saying within my own heart, that's what this wicked man says. That's what the wicked say. Within my heart, I have no fear of God. And to be without fear of God, what an awful, awful state to be in. Then look what else it says. This is why he has no fear of God. Is because in verse 2, he flattereth himself in his own eyes. That's why he doesn't have any fear of God. He flatters himself. And let me say something about flattery in the Bible. There's not what, whenever flattery is mentioned in the scriptures, it's always in an evil, evil, presented in an evil way. He that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And I'll tell you, he that flattereth, is deceives himself. And this is the reason there's no fear of God. He flatters himself. And he flatters himself in his own eyes. Oh my. Is there anybody as good as I am? Oh my. Oh, is anybody? I'm a fine, fine fella. Fine man. Oh, everybody ought to be as good as me. Everybody ought to respect me. Everybody ought to pay attention to me. He's like the Pharisee that stood and prayed thus with himself, considered himself more righteous than others. He said, I thank you that I'm like not like other people. I'm so far above other people. I'm so different than everybody else. And oh my, he quiets his own conscience with self-flattery, brags on himself. You don't have to say anything good about him. He'll say enough good about himself. You ever been around anybody that you know you never had to worry about what they're going to, who they're going to brag on? They're going to brag on themselves. They're going to flatter themselves. They're going to prove themselves to be something. And oh my, I'm good as anyone else. Better than most. Oh my. And I tell you what, when you see flattery in the scriptures, it's always in an evil, evil way. Always in an evil way. And then look what else it says. Not only does it flatter himself, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Now it's not hateful to him, because he's already flattered himself. His iniquity, who's going to find out his iniquity is hateful? There's only one place that you can find out your iniquity is hateful. That's for God to show you. And he'll be found out one of these days. He don't know it now. He don't see it now. He don't feel it now. He dismisses it now. He dismisses everything about God and the fear of God before his eyes. If not in this life that his iniquity doesn't become hateful, it'll be hateful to him in the life to come. And then he'll find out how hateful his sin is. Oh, listen, people say, listen, God loves the sinner and hates the sin. That's not true. God hates the workers of iniquity. And I tell you what, sin and the person cannot be separated. And the only way God can ever do anything for a man is to put his sin away. But he said here, this man said here, his iniquity will be hateful. It's too hateful to everybody but himself. Oh my. And I tell you who I hate sin in more than anybody else. Huh? And then look what's in his heart. Look what's in his, you find out what's in his heart. Look in verse 3. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. You know, our Lord said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, since he's got a wicked heart, since he flatters himself and he has no fear of God, what comes out of his mouth? Iniquity. That word iniquity means lawlessness. No regard for anything. Absolute, utter, absolute lawlessness. And deceit. Lies comes out of his mouth. He's just deceiving. He wants to deceive. He sees himself. And he wants to deceive everybody else. And deceive everybody else. Huh? Oh my. He can't have. You know, you can't have iniquity and deceit. One hath to go with the other. And then look what he says there in the second part of it. And he hath left off to be wise. I don't even want to be wise. He's left off to do good. He has ceased to restrain himself. And I tell you, we see that. Oh my goodness, we see that. Oh, in such an incredible way now. Man's left off to restrain himself. I mean, he does not restrain himself from so many. And even our government and the law doesn't restrain people anymore. And that's how far we've got. That there's no restraint. He has not. He ceased to restrain himself. He won't hold himself back from anything. And oh my. And that's what he says about it is. There's no reason to pretend. No reason to pretend what I'm not. That's what he says about himself. I remember one time years ago. Was out at Thomas Springs digging a grave. Several of us was. And. This one fella, I haven't seen him in years, but you see him all the time. And he, you know, he always had something to say about me being a preacher. Always had something to say about it. And he said, well, Donnie Bell, I said, he said, I guess you reckon I'm going to go to hell. And if I do, I'll have plenty of company. And we was, you know, piling that dirt up there. And I said, listen, no, you won't have one person in
for company while you're in hell. Not one person will you have for company. Nobody down there is company to one the other. Nobody. How could you have company when you're in hell? Somebody you'd enjoy being there with. Now you can have, you know, people say, well, company's coming. So you clean up the house, you get everything ready, you fix a meal. That's good company. But to go to hell and say, listen, I'm going to have company down there, somebody I can enjoy being with, that's a person that ceases to restrain themselves. There's no reason pretending to be what I'm not. Oh, my. And then look what he says. He said, listen, he goes to bed at night, and look what it said in verse 4. He goes to bed tonight, instead of resting, instead of going to sleep and getting a good night's sleep, he lays on his bed at night, and he's trying to figure out a way to see some people tomorrow. He's trying to figure out a way to mess somebody over the tomorrow. He said to himself, he devises mischief on his bed. He's turned the place of rest into a place where he plots. How kind of mischief can I do tomorrow? He setteth himself in a way that's not good. He said, I'm going to go this way. It's not a good way, but I'm going to go anyway. And this is awful. This is awful. He said, I'm going to sin all I can and tomorrow and deceive who I can tomorrow. And he sets himself not a good way. And listen to this right here. He does not abhor evil. And that, you know what God said about Job? He eschews evil. He despises evil. And I tell you what, that's one thing about God's people. They despise. He's nothing good about him or what he does. But now look at the difference in the righteous and the believer. Look at his attitude toward God. Here's the way the believer looks at. David described the wicked man. Then he turns around, describes the godly, the righteous. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. And now look what he says down here in verse 7. I want you to see there. How excellent is thy loving kindness. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Now we're under the shadow. The difference in the wicked is we got a place to hide. We got a place to rest. We're under the shadow of their. Why are they there? Why are they under the shadow of his wings? Because it says they put their trust in him. They put their trust under the shadow of his. They put their trust in him under the shadow of his wings. You know, Boaz told Ruth. He said, Ruth, he said, since you've come to put your trust in under the shadow, under the wings of the Almighty, under the wings of the God of Israel, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord reward you. And I'll tell you what, the feathers of God's wings, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. Look over Psalm 91 with me. This is where we look. We're under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 91 and verse 4. Let me show you this over here. Down in verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. I wished I'd looked it up tonight before I got here. But over in Deuteronomy, it says, you know, that he mounts up with wings as an eagle and bears you as on an eagle's wings. Bears his people up as on eagle's wings. And you know, when he says the feather of God's wings, those are the words of his gospel. They come. They're wonderful things. And that's what we do. Let me give you 5 reasons why you're under the shadow of his ring. You know, it says there in verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness. Therefore, let's find out what therefore is therefore. Huh? Here's the first reason why we trust and hide under the shadow and trust in the shadow of his wings. Because thy mercy is in the heavens. Oh, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. You know, no matter how high sin goes, no matter how high sin reaches, God's mercy is higher than that. God's mercy reaches, this says, you know, God's mercy reaches all the way to the heavens. Now, how far does it reach? You reckon it'll reach you? If it reaches all the way to the heavens, you reckon it'd reach you? Oh, my. And I tell you what, God's mercy is higher. Look in Psalm 103. You know, there's so many wonderful verses of Scripture to look at and look at together. But in Psalm 103 and verse 11, look what it says here. Talking about thy mercies in the heavens. Oh, it reaches all the way to the heavens. Look what he said in verse 11. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. He said, just as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far his mercy reaches to us. Oh, my, bless his holy name. And then look what else he said, oh, back over here in this text. It's, you know, and that not only does his mercy reach into heavens, then look what he says, thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Oh, my. He said, you know, he's showing us how far God's, you know, oh, it reaches all the way to the clouds. Clouds come and clouds go, but God's faithfulness is always there, always there. Never a time that God's faithful is not there. I love that song we sung this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And I tell you what, his bless his name. I'm telling you, his faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. You know, you get in an airplane, they take you up to 30,000 feet. And when you get up there, you're on top of them clouds. And it just, I mean, they're just white, just, oh, they're just beautiful, look like big cotton balls all over the place. Well, God reaches there. Well, what's going on? My watch is sent talking to me. I don't know what it said, but I got my phone turned off. It shouldn't be talking to me. That's sad. Pitiful. I'll change it. There we go. Fix it. I'm sorry. But all his faithfulness reaches under the clouds. And he that it promised is faithful. God made promises to his son. He's going to be faithful to his son. He's made promises to himself. Made promises to his word. His word would never, ever, ever fail. And he's made promises to us in Christ. And all of his promises, you know what the first thing it says about them? They all say yea. They all say yes. Every one of God's promises says yes. And when we find out all of God's promises say yea. There's never no nay in God's promises. It's no if I do this, or if I do that, or if I accomplish this, or if I accomplish that, then God will give me a promise, and my promise will be good. There is, all of God's promises, there's not one of them conditioned. None of them. Now, they were under the law, but not under grace. Not, well, listen, God's promises are yes. And we, because we know that, you know what we say? Amen. Amen. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. And here's a third reason why we are under the shadow of his wings is in verse 6, thy righteousness is as like the great mountains. Oh, my. Like the great mountains. You look at the Rocky Mountains. You look at the Grand Tetons. You look at all the great mountains that's in this world. The Alps. Oh, my. Mountains. There's mountains that people can't climb. They're so high. But, oh, my. God says His righteousness is greater than any mountain ever was. It's like the great mountains. They're the mountains of God. That's how great His righteousness is. Oh, there's, you look at the mountain range and you say, you look as far as you can see. High, you can't see high enough. And God said, My righteousness is greater than that. There's no limit to what He's saying. There's no limit to the righteousness of God Almighty. No limit to Him. And He only deals in righteousness. You know that? He only deals in righteousness. Oh, He made Christ to be our righteousness. Oh, we didn't have no righteousness of our own. But God in His blessed mercy, He provided us a righteousness. And you know what it's called? It's called the very righteousness of God. How did we get it? God made Him, Christ our Lord, who knew no sin, made Him to be sin for us, that He, Christ, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I tell you, if God's righteous as the mountains, then that's what our righteousness is. It's as great as, God could not give a better righteousness than what He's given us. We're as righteous as God Himself. That's what it's called, the righteousness of God. Oh my. That's just a mind-boggling thing to my mind, that I'm as righteous as God. But God, that's what it's called, the righteousness of God. How can you be any more righteous than that? And like I've said it before, when I get into glory and you get into glory, you will be no more righteous there than you are right now. Than you are right this moment. Your righteousness can't change. You know why? No more than God can change. Can God change His righteousness? Well, He can't. Ours can't change either. You know why? Because it's His. He gave it to us. And He made Christ to be that to us. And who can search and can find out God? Look what He said. This is the next thing He says here. And Thy judgments are great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest. Thy judgments are great deep. Oh, no wonder the scripture said over in Romans 11:33, He said, oh, the wisdom, the depth of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Oh, Job and all his friends, they talked about it and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And then when God said, listen, when God came, spoke to him, you know what Job said? He said, oh my, I've said enough. I ain't going to say no more. Your ways are past finding out. And oh my, His judgments are great deep. Who can plumb the depths of God's judgments? Who can plumb the depths of the judgments of God that He put on His own Son? Do you know the judgment? What an awful judgment God has against sin. When you think about sin, God made hell for people who don't want to be without sin, who don't want God, who don't want righteousness, who don't want salvation. That's a place where people go that don't want anything to do with God. But God Almighty, when sin is to be judged, and sin is an awful, 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 awful thing, and God took all the sins of all His people, from Adam to the last person, And you imagine all that sin and the judgment that fell on Christ for all the sins. You know, if he just judged us for our sin, we'd perish eternally. But God punished Christ for a multitude of sins that cannot, for a multitude that nobody can number. So the awful judgment, and no wonder, how can you plumb the depth of the judgment that Christ went under? When men go to hell and they never, ever, ever get through with their sin. Their sin is always present. Their sin is always with them. They're still just what they was on earth. But now when God judged Christ, that judgment was so great, so mighty, that God judged all sins of all his people once and for all. Plumb the depths of that if you can. Just for this congregation. Plumb the depths of that if you can. Huh? Oh my. And I'll tell you one thing. They, you know, Zechariah said, he talked about Joshua, the high priest. He said he was as a brand plucked out of the burning. I mean, that was a fire burning. And I mean, he was right in the fire. He had the smoke all over. And God reached down and got him and took him out of that. And that's what God done for us. He had to pluck us. He had to pluck us out. Oh, what a great deep. They reach, you know. He reached way down for me. Way, way down. And how far down did he reach? How far down did he reach? And then look what else he says now in verse 7. Oh, I love this. Listen. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. How excellent is God's loving kindness? Loving kindness. Kindness is a most wonderful thing. Oh, to be kind to somebody and somebody show kindness to somebody. But to show love in that kindness. To be loving in that kindness. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, you know what he said? Oh, Lord, according unto thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies, forgive thou me. He pleaded God's loving kindness. And oh, the loving kindness of God. Loving is one thing. Kindness is another. And he's both. And then in the margin it says, how excellent. That word excellent means precious. Oh, my. Oh, his loving kindness gave his son. And I tell you, his loving kindness is precious to us. To us who believe, Christ is precious. Us who believe, his blood is precious. Us who believe, our faith is precious. He made us precious. Oh, thy loving kindness, how excellent is. That's why, therefore, those five things that I've mentioned, they put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And then look what blessings we have being under the shadow of his wings. In verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. I mean abundantly satisfied. Not just satisfied. Abundantly satisfied. And then it says, you know, abundantly. That means watered. Watered. Oh, my. Abundantly satisfied. And all satisfied with the fatness. Oh my, all the fatness shows you that how wealthy he is, how glorious he is. And then look what it says, and thou shalt make him drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. Oh my, how satisfying is our God. Does he satisfy our heart? Does he satisfy our soul? Does he satisfy our affections? Oh my, satisfy our conscience? Did he satisfy your conscience? Oh, look in Psalm 46. Oh, he said, oh, thou shalt make, you'll make them. And that's what he has to make. He said, make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Look what he said here in verse 4 of Psalm 46. There is a river. The streams from that river, where shall make glad the city of God. Oh, the holy place of the tabernacle is the Most High. God's in the midst of her. God's in the midst of that water. God's in the midst of that church. And oh my. So, oh, well, we're abundant. That's the one of the blessing being under the shadow of his wings. We're abundantly satisfied. Turn back over now. Back to Psalm 36. And now look in verse 9. He said, for with thee is the fountain of life. We're talking about that water, that rivers of pleasure he'll make us to drink. You know where that fountain is, what we drink from? We drink from his fountain. His fountain is the fountain of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water, rivers of living water. And some people take that to mean when he said that, he said, he that believeth on me, when the Spirit come out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. He talks, a lot of people take that to mean that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of water. We'll have something, we'll be out here winning souls and doing all kinds of things. But no. The river of life can only come from one person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's out of his belly, out of him, flows rivers of life. And I tell you, he's the fountain of life. And out of him there is no life. And then, oh my, there's Bruce, last time he preached here, he preached Sunday morning on, when he was here preaching for you all, when I was gone, he preached that morning on there is a fountain. Out of Zechariah 14, there is a fountain. He remember I sang that, or preached that, you know, and then he closed with a song. But he, you know, that's what he preached on. He says, there is a fountain opened. If a fountain was closed, it wouldn't do us any good. But it's a fountain opened. What's it open for? Uncleanness, wash us. What's open for? For us to drink from. And then not only that, but we get clear vision too. Look what else it says here. We get, oh, our vision changes. Oh, my. In thy light shall we see light. Oh, my. You know, it's only in his light that we see light. What does that mean? That means that God has to turn on the light before we can see right. That's exactly what it means. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And you know, that fella, that wicked man, flattered himself in his own eyes. He said in his own eyes, he had no fear of God before his eyes. But now our eyes, we got different eyes. Why? Because we got different sight. God gave us different sight. Huh? We don't look with our own eyes like the wicked did, but we look with the sight that God gave us. And that light means understanding. That light means a clearness, a sight to see. And I tell you what, he gives us, with his sight that he gives us, you know what we see? We went from darkness, now we see light. Huh? Oh, we see clearly now. Oh, how we see clearly. In his light, we see sin for what it is. In his light, the sight he's given us, we see self, how what he is. In his light and sight that he's given us, we see salvation altogether by the grace of God. In the sight that he gave us, we see clearly that salvation was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ and himself. In Christ, by this light, we see that death even belongs to us, to usher us into the presence of Christ. We see clearly eternal life, and that's a gift that Christ gave to us, bought and paid for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8:12, he said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light. I'm the light. And he that followeth me, you know what he says? He ain't going to walk in darkness. He ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. Well, under the shadow of his wings, what a wonderful place to be. Difference day and night between the righteous and the wicked. I remember we was reading through the book of Proverbs a few years ago and at home, and the comment was made, said, boy, God makes such a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, don't he? And he does. He does. I was one, now I'm the other. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. Huh? Where at? God gave us eyes. Huh? Oh, Lord Jesus, our great and glorious God and Father of our Savior. Oh, our Savior. What a Savior is Jesus our Lord. What a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. What blessings, Lord, that you brought us under the shadow of your wing. What a blessed place to be. What a place of protection. What a place of rest. What a place of hiding. Oh, Lord, thank you for doing that for us. And Lord, we're so thankful that your mercies reach all the way to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds, and your righteousness to the mountains, greater than the mountains. Oh Lord, who's a God like unto thee that could come and save poor, poor sinners, wretched sinners like ourselves, and then make us righteous as yourself. Oh, Lord, no wonder our hearts fill with wonder. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. We ask your blessings on your people. Blessings on your saints. Blessing on the sick and merciful and the frail. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Every moment and in every way. Boom, 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 boom. Well, I find it here. I think I got it. See if I can start all over again. Every hour of every day, every moment, and in every way, I'm leaning on Christ. He's the rock of my soul. I'm singing his praises wherever I go. I'm glad I had that. Well, good night and God bless you. I'll see you Wednesday, Lord willing.